Welcome to Building Your T-Shirt Empire, powered by ShirtAgency.com. Get ready to take a trip inside the apparel industry for the best tips, tricks, and interviews. And now, here's your host, Cole Lundstrom.
Hello. So, I have decided to do one of those podcasts where no one else is on it. And I think the reason I wanted to do this was because a lot of people ask me about advertising, and I figured I'd just put some of those answers into a podcast so that everyone can hear it instead of me having to talk to people, which never goes well. So, I've separated this up into three different categories, one being the easiest advertising you can possibly do, the next being slightly more advanced, but pretty much everyone can do it without paying anyone extra, and then finally some of the harder stuff, which I would argue you're still capable of doing yourself, but if you don't have the extra time, there's definitely experts you could pay to do it for you. The most obvious thing that you can do as a business existing right now in 2018 is boost your social media posts. This isn't always the best option, but what's nice about boosting a social media post on Instagram or Facebook is that you hopefully have already seen how your audience has reacted. So if you find one of those posts where you're like, man, I never get 61 likes on my business page, unless it's about you having a kid or something, that's probably a reasonable one to boost, because at least it proves that there's some sort of like interaction with the ad. I wouldn't put big money into Facebook boosts. This is kind of like a, hey, throw 10 bucks at it kind of a thing. But if you do want to do a Facebook boost, if you have a business page or if you have an Instagram page that's linked to your Facebook ad manager, it'll almost always offer to allow you to boost it just in the bottom right-hand corner. The other thing that I would say is probably the easiest form of advertising, especially if you're a screen printer, is to do a Google search ad. The Google search ads you could do either with AdWords Express or with the full AdWords. But really all you're doing is buying clicks for certain keywords. So if you're in Bakersfield and you have a screen printing company, and you just aren't getting enough calls, you can buy clicks for keywords like Bakersfield screen printing or screen printing near me or custom t-shirts in Bakersfield, because those people are obviously blatantly trying to find you. You don't have to write a genius ad. Your ad can just be copy that says almost exactly what the search keyword says. So if you're trying to show up for Bakersfield screen printing, make an ad for it and say, we're the best printing in Bakersfield. We offer screen printing and embroidery. Done. And then just attach it to those keywords. The problem I have with Google search ads is that, unfortunately, some competitors will click your ads to waste your money. And then beyond that, you're also going to have people who are basically just bigger than you. And so they might be paying $4, $5, $6 a click. So if you're doing a $20 daily budget, you might only get 4 clicks and 0 phone calls. So it's a good place to start. The smaller your market, the better it'll work because you'll have less competition. So if you're in a small town, Google search could be a really good thing for you to start looking at. All right, moving on. So now I'm going to get into a slightly more advanced version of buying ads. And I think that starts with intentional Instagram ads. I've heard some people say that they can't get a return on their Instagram money. And I have the exact opposite situation with us. For us at our shop, Instagram has seemed to be kind of the king of the social media platforms at the moment. The engagement is much, much higher. And we can get a lot of views and a lot of clicks for not that much money. I think one of the big mistakes that people are making when they're doing something like an Instagram ad is they're forgetting who the audience is. The audience is like trying to kill time. They're trying to be entertained, and they have like no attention span because you just flick through that stuff. Like, you don't care when you're on Instagram. So putting something like $10 off your $100 order or 15% off when you order 50 t-shirts, like, even if the person needs t-shirts, they don't care and they don't know what your existing price is. I see a lot of Instagram ads from screen printers where it's like 100 shirts for $450, but they don't learn anything about you. And you're just trying to be this person that exists who's willing to work for cheap. it's bad advertising on Instagram. It's probably bad advertising anywhere. What we normally do with Instagram ads is we like to basically pay to have people see what we do. So there is no offer. We're not saying, come in and get a free hoodie. We're just saying, this is what we knocked out today. We did this job for this person. And then we'll target that towards people who are interested. So when we do our targeting for Instagram, it'll normally be men who are like 30 to 55 years old, who are already business owners or have decision-making skills. So people who like are page owners, for example, are most likely people who actually have control over the business. And then also we'll go and we'll look at like what they're interested in. So sometimes you can decide to target people who are interested in Mercedes-Benz, which may not make much sense, but it means that they have some sort of like concept of wanting things that are premium and not always being about price. And then taking this same idea of showing people what you do and not offering them a cheapy coupon. Another thing is video ads have worked really well for us, and we've been able to put the same video content on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, all in slightly different shapes. And then you get people who are interested in like seeing you, and they don't really care about buying the product. And that actually helps a ton when it comes to actually retaining people. When you give someone a coupon, they're worried about capitalizing on that coupon, but they're not worried about like who you are or following you or figuring out, you know, hey, there's this guy who I see in my feed every day and he can do this for you. It's not a long-term advertising strategy. So with video ads, what we normally do is just take a whole bunch of B-roll shots around the shop. A lot of times we're doing it with just like a GoPro or our phones. We actually haven't ever done like a professional video ad. And we just try to make it feel real. And I think on something like Instagram or YouTube, people like things feeling real. When it looks too glossy, it looks fake. Another nice thing about the video ads, especially on the Facebook side, is I get a much cheaper click than I ever would on Google search. Because if I can just get people's attention on that video ad, it costs me a lot less to just run it and buy views than it does to buy like an individual click in a Google search ad. And lastly, on the intermediate level of advertising, I would say that you need to be conscious of your targeting. I wouldn't want somebody to target my business just because I happen to be a business owner if they're trying to sell, you know, roofing. If you're a roofing company and you're buying ads to target all business owners, that could be bad targeting, since a lot of people actually just lease. So what you're looking to do with your business, whether you're a brand or you're just selling merch because you're like a musician, or if you're a screen printing shop who's trying to get more clients, is figure out who that ideal target is. And then really nail it down. There's so many people that can see your ad when you're on these platforms that just putting like, oh, my demographic is 25 to 60 and a girl is a terrible plan. You're going to want to write down a whole list of things that you think your ideal client likes. So even if it's something stupid like my ideal client shops at H&M, then that should literally be put into your targeting. You can have people who already have said that they like H&M. So they're more likely to like your style of shirt because you're kind of in that same fashion mode. All right. Hopefully I'm not going too fast through this stuff, but we're going to now move on to the hard side of things. So in the hard side of advertising online, I would say the thing that you should do from the very beginning, even if you don't think you're going to be spending that much money, is as soon as you set up an account, put a Facebook and a Google Pixel onto at least your landing page, if not more pages. What we do is we have a Google Pixel on our main home page, so that allows us to know that the person has been on our page and then retarget them later. And then we have another pixel on our thank you page after they've filled out a form. This allowed us to separate people who have actually contacted us from people who have not. So we can then do retargeting. And retargeting is absolutely incredible. If you've ever looked at something on Amazon and then it chased you around the internet for 2 weeks, that's retargeting. And retargeting is based on these pixels that you're putting on different pages. So if you have a lot of different products, you might be pixeling every single individual product so that you can then show that one product that they maybe never purchased to them later, because you know they were interested enough to check it out. For us, when we started retargeting, we saw our lead forms kind of skyrocket. Our lead form is just on our main homepage. It's nothing special. We use Jotform, which I wouldn't really recommend. It's fine. We've just stayed with it because we've used it the whole time. But pretty much every website builder now has some sort of form template. And what's been awesome is retargeting people has allowed us to save a lot of clients that we never would have known to follow around the internet. I'll get, like, let's say I'll get 22 clicks when I spend about $30 in advertising. Of those 22 clicks, I might only get two or three lead forms that are actually filled out. I'll still ultimately have a positive ROI if I can land those lead form people. But now with retargeting, I can show those other 20 clicks who had some level of interest a whole new ad. Maybe that's when you would actually offer a coupon saying like, hey, we miss you. We saw that you were on our site. Now you can have a coupon. Something like that makes a little bit more sense. Some of the more hardcore marketers people do is they create funnels. So those funnels will be beyond just your page and like a lead form or your page and a add to cart button. Instead, the funnels will bring them into a whole world of offers and funnels. So like ClickFunnels is one of the big things that online marketers use. And they use this to put a lot of information up about one product or one service. Then they get you put into an email funnel offering you either the same product again because you've never bought it or upselling you to additional services later. And all of that can be done either through like ClickFunnels or you can set it up with MailChimp. And what's nice about creating some of these advertising funnels, which are more complicated, is that when you get one that's working well, you can actually figure out the lifetime value of these customers and then average that out. So all of a sudden, you're not trying to get one sale. You're realizing that a year in, that one sale turns into four sales. And all of a sudden, the lifetime value of a customer might be $600. But of course, none of that matters if nobody actually buys things from your ad. The number one thing that I think people miss sometimes is that their product or service sucks. And so you can waste an unbelievable amount of money on advertising, and it will never be profitable. If your product or service sucks, it doesn't matter how good you are at advertising. And if you are going to go into spending a decent amount of money on ads, I would make sure that you're being able to sell this without advertising at all. If you can have somebody say, oh, I want that. Can I buy that? And then you start advertising, you'll find similar people. But if you have like a brand that you're starting from absolute scratch, and your plan is I'm going to spend $500 on ads and become like a kingpin, that's pretty unlikely. I would think that you would need a product that has some sort of traction, even on like the most basic level, before you're going to really see much success with advertising. Advertising is like additional gasoline on an existing fire. But assuming you do have a good product and a good service, what you'd want to do if you're going to get a little bit more hardcore about your advertising is start A/B testing. I know Brendan, who actually was on the podcast like a year ago, he'll go in and do like 25 different little ads with tiny tweaks. He'll change the demographics slightly. He'll change the cost offer sometimes. So like sometimes some people see it for $20 and some people see it for $25. He'll also change like the picture. He'll change the text. And then while he's running all of those for say $5 per ad, he'll go in and see what is actually performing the best. This way, you're not making one ad and just putting all of your eggs into one basket. Like, you're creating variations on an ad concept. And ultimately, the higher the success rate, the better you're going to be in the long run. So there's no reason to be committed personally to your advertising. A/B testing is very important. And I think that when people tell me, like, they're great at advertising and they're some random print shop owner or whatever, and I find out that like, oh, we've been running the same ad for a year because I'm a genius and I made one ad. It's like the amount of money he could have either saved or the amount of lost profits that that person has because they could have optimized is kind of a shame. If you're like a real business, you're talking thousands, easily thousands of dollars in difference between a fine ad that's worth keeping up for now and really great tested advertising. Now, when you get to this point of A-B testing and retargeting and pixelizing and all this nonsense, you definitely are going to wonder if you should be doing it or if you should be paying someone else to do it for you. And there definitely are people who are excellent online marketers, but unfortunately, in my opinion, in general, there are a huge amount of people that are overcharging and under-delivering. If somebody's going to charge you $1,000 a month so that they can then spend another $500 on ads, there's no way that they're so good that they're going to do better than if you just spent $1,500 of your own money and refused to work with anyone. There's just no way. No one's that great at online marketing. Now, if you have a big enough business to support it as an expense, then sure, there might be an online marketer who's a good match for you. But if you're on the smaller side, don't think that giving some guy a grand every month is somehow going to change your business. It won't. Just so that you're in the know, I'm going to go through a few quick vocab words because all these online advertising platforms have a ton of acronyms. So I figured I'd run through them real fast so that you know what people are talking about and you don't get kind of surprised by what some random marketer is pitching to you. The first thing that most people are going to talk about is a key performance indicator. The first step to any digital advertising campaign is to determine your goals and the success metrics you plan to measure. Therefore, you have key performance indicators. After that, you're going to have a CPM. That's the cost per thousand impressions. When you're inside of the advertising platforms, you can sometimes choose to pay per thousand impressions or you can pay per click, depending on how popular your ad is and how organically it grows. The impressions might be more or less expensive. The next thing is your CPC. Your CPC is your cost per click. This is somebody who actually goes from your website or goes from your ad to your website or to whatever deal page you're sending them to. Then there's the PPC model. This is where you only pay per click. So for example, if you're using Google search, you don't pay to have your ad sitting there forever, cycling at the top of your Google search results. But you will pay, for example, $4.10 when somebody actually clicks on your link. Normally the pay-per-click model is more expensive per click, but if you're testing, it can be a good option because you feel like you've succeeded. In the long run, I normally get cheaper ads than just doing like a Google search ad. Next is PPV, that's pay-per-view. So you're just paying for each view. This is normally having to do with video content. And then what I like to look at is the cost per lead. So for me, my cost per lead goal is to have somebody fill out our lead form for less than on average $10 in advertising. Now, this doesn't happen on day one. On day one, I might spend $30 and get no one, or I might spend $30 and get five people. So you have to average this out over at least a week to see how well you're doing. But I would say under $10 per lead form would be a good place to start if you're screen printing. And then there is the cost per acquisition. So if you're tracking these same customers that you already have gotten a lead from, and you're then documenting what they actually gave you, now you can see, okay, so I lost some of the people that got me a lead, but I landed 60% of them. Those 60% cost me $22 per acquisition. And if you're doing something with a higher sticker price, like selling 50 t-shirts, $22 per acquisition is very scalable. Another vocab word you should probably know, or vocab acronym, is CTA. This is a call to action. If your website is getting a lot of clicks and you see that nobody is actually like calling you or filling out the lead form, you might have too vague of a website. I would suggest having a website that blatantly tells people what you want them to do. So if you want them to call you, you should say what you are in the headline and then say, call now. If you want people to fill out a lead form, you say, let's get started, or begin here, or contact us now, or whatever. But that should be a big block of button. It should be either, you know, orange, red, or something extremely high contrast, because I've seen that a lot of websites, people are like ashamed of actually asking for the sale. And the websites that do well have a really strong call to action. So to wrap this up, I just want to talk about one last thing, and that's how to think about your content. I'm a little bit weird about this because I don't think about giving people offers. I think about giving them a view into a world that for some reason might help them. There's a whole section of people that really do just run coupons or offers or a stock picture of a stock t-shirt with a stupid design on it, and it says t-shirt printing. I don't like stock photography and ads. I'd rather have a picture of like one of my employees smiling at one of the presses for real, just to keep me down to earth, and then target that towards people in Los Angeles. So I'm never going to compete with Custom Ink with however much they're spending a day on ads, 500 or 1,000 they're spending every day, and they're spending it nationwide. I'm not going to compete with that. I don't want the glossy corporate look with my ads because we're not a huge corporation. But I like the idea of presenting to the client, hey, we're real people that you can literally drive over and talk to, and then you can have a meeting with us inside of our shop, and we can do everything with you as like a local service. It doesn't mean that we have to offer people cheapy deals. What we can do is say, hey, we're something that you can access here in Los Angeles. And that kind of vibe is what we're always trying to put out with our advertising. Going alongside with that is the idea of giving people free content that actually provides value. So if you noticed, I have a podcast. I also seem to put out like blog posts and stuff with random people, or I'll make videos with Bella Canvas. All that kind of content that gets put out, if I wanted to, I could advertise to the content. So if I make a podcast that's, you know, 7 rules for starting your t-shirt brand, which I don't think I ever did, I could then run an ad that says, like, learn the tricks to starting your t-shirt brand and not failing. Then those people will click. I could theoretically, if I was a jerk, put it behind like an email sign up and then contact those people after they've listened to the episode. I personally don't like the mandatory email signups that much, but if you're blatantly trying to get leads, you might have to do that. So I hope that you got something out of this podcast. Hopefully there was something in here that you didn't think about or hadn't been doing in the past. And also, I just realized that like everyone tells the people that listen to leave reviews. So I'm going to do it right now. I think that you should leave a 5-star review on the podcast, and then maybe this podcast will get more listeners. So we'll all have more competition, because that's what we want, is more competition. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye.